deliver it. But it's concerning the protection of God. The protection of God. And you know, God has protection for us. Hallelujah. So I want you to open up to the book of Job tonight. We want to start over in the book of Job concerning God's protection. He's a good God. And He has good thoughts toward us. Can you say amen?
Amen.
He has a good plan for us. So in the book of Job, chapter 1, and this is something that the devil said. And when I read what the devil said, I various times I thought, you know, if all the Christians would have this much sense and would see what the devil saw. But see, the devil's a spirit, and he saw into the spirit realm. And he saw some things here that not all of us see, because we don't see in the spirit realm. But in Job chapter 1, and look at verse number 10, he said, "Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything that he has?" And this is something that the devil saw, because he's a spirit and he knew what was going on in the spirit realm. You see, the devil tried to attack Job before, but he wasn't successful, because as long as the hedge was up, he couldn't do anything. But the hedge, of course, came down, and we're not going to talk about that tonight, because that's a whole different thing. And a lot of people like to spend a lot of time and major on why does the hedge come down. But I'd like to put more time in having the hedge up, hallelujah. And I want you to notice there that it says you put a hedge around him, his household, and everything that he has. Now that covers everything, doesn't it? If you just picture the fact that God, our Father, he'll put a hedge around us. You know, personally, we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. So there'll be a hedge around our physical bodies. Then he says his household. That means his home and everything in his home. That would mean whoever lives in your home, along with your home. And then just to make sure, he just says, and everything that he has. So that's what he wants to do for us. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now I know we lived in three different places in Italy. We first of all started off in Sicily, then we moved up to Rome, and then we were up near Verona, which is near Venice, if you don't know where Verona is. And especially when we moved to Rome, now anywhere that we've ever gone, when we move into a house, we exercise authority and we say some things concerning the house that we go into. We always do that. And so we moved up to Rome, and when we got there, there was a house on either side of us. And each of the owners of those houses told us how many times they were broken into. And you know, we go and come back here every summer for a couple months. So you can imagine, they're telling us how often their houses were broken into, and we think, well, you know, you're here. We're going to be going for 2 months every year, and then we'd come back at Christmas too. And you know, every time we went into a house, this is what we declared. And then at various times, I just worshiped God and reminded Him of it on a continual basis when I thought of it. But we would declare this. We would say, "Father, we thank You that You've given Your angels charge over us." And we would say, "Father, we thank You that Your angels, we commission them to go out on all the four corners of our property." And if anybody would have a plan, because the Bible says no weapon formed against us will prosper, if anybody would even have a plan to come near our property, when they get close to it, they'll be confounded and confused, and they'll turn around and run away in fear.
Amen.
And you know, we lived there for 4 years, wasn't it 4 years? Almost 5 years in Rome, and our neighbors' homes were being broken into at various times, and no one ever came near our house. Now somebody might say, well, that's just coincidence. Well, you know, I don't know if it was coincidence, you know, to you, but I just know that they never broke in our house, and I give God the glory.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And so He'll put a hedge around us personally, but He'll also take care of our things too. So this is the protection that He has. Now, look over in Psalm 91 and look at this. I know that you all know the scripture, but it's good to look there again. We're living in a day that there's a lot of threats. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
So not only is there physical threats to our physical body with sickness and disease, but there's other kind of threats going on in the world. And it's a very timely thing to look into the protection of God. Now, Psalm 91, it tells us, he who dwells in the secret, or the shelter, I'm reading out of the NIV, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I will trust. Surely He shall save you from the fowler snare and from the deadly pestilence. Now you notice there that it says, surely He will save you from the fowler snare. Now in the King James, doesn't it say that He'll deliver you? How many are reading the King James here? Now when I used to be on a staff as an associate pastor a number of years ago, it's going on a lot of years ago now, but there is a lady that came to talk to me, and they were on vacation, and she's a spiritual lady that would pray and really stay in the Word. And she spent time in Psalm 91 this particular morning when they were on vacation. Then they got into their car, and they drove out of the hotel, and they went down the road, and they had a head-on collision with another car. The engine of that car came up, the engine of their car came up into their car when they had the head-on collision, and it hit her husband's leg. And it did damage to her husband's leg, and he had to walk with a cane. So she came in at that particular time. I was doing some counseling, so I was assigned to counsel her, and she came in, and she just had this big question for me. She said, I would like to know why that I spent the morning in Psalm 91, and then we got in our car, and we went, and we got in a head-on collision. She said, how can that happen? And so I told her why it happened. I'm kidding. I told her, I don't know. I didn't have an answer for her. And, you know, we don't always have the answer. So I was kind of bothered that I didn't have an answer. But I just told her, I can't tell you anything. Now, I can't give you the answer. So we just went our way. And so during a time span of a week or two, I don't remember how long it was, I was just, you know, minding my own business. And as I was minding my own business, the Spirit of the Lord said something to me. And He said, look at Psalm 91 again and notice where it says that I will deliver you. And so I went there. I was, at that time, I had a King James Bible, and I was reading in King James, and the Lord was talking to me in King James. And, you know, and so I went there, and I noticed that it says that He will deliver. And then when I read that, then He said, I have a plan of delivery for everybody if they'll listen to me. And so He said, go back and ask that lady this question if she heard me say anything to her that morning. So the next time we had church, she was at church and I found her. And I said, I have a question to ask you. That morning when you were in Psalm 91 and you were praying, did the Lord say anything to you? And she said, well, you know, He did. He did impress something on me. I said, what did He impress on you? And she said, He impressed that when we pulled out of the hotel, instead of turning right, we should have turned left. And she said, but I didn't listen to that. And so she said, we turned right, and I should have told my husband we should turn left that day. She said, we could have got to the same place either way where we were. And I said, I think there's your answer right there. I said, this is what the Lord told me to ask you. He had a plan of delivery for you, and He was talking to you and impressing you to do something, and you didn't do it. And you know what? It helped her. Hallelujah. You see, and He has a plan to deliver all of us all the time. And sometimes He'll just give us this impression. And it's important to listen to those impressions when He gives them to us, you know. Now, if you notice there in Psalm 91, we're not going to spend all the time talking about that, but notice a few things here in Psalm 91, verse number 3. He said, surely He will save you from the fowler's snare. And then it says from the deadly pestilence. Now, in some translations, it talks about disease. And then if you'll skip down and look at verse number 5, He says, you will not fear the terror of the night. So there's disease and there's terror. And then if you notice there in verse number 5, I think it's part of verse, it might be going into verse 6, it says, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness. Now one translation might say disease. And so you notice there, this is in the Old Covenant. And you know, the Bible says that we have a better covenant established on better promises. So this is in the old covenant. Now Job, you know, they say that he lived before there was any covenant. I don't know if you know that. Job is considered one of the oldest books of the Bible. And if you study it, it seems like it came in somewhere in between chapters in the book of Genesis. So it's one of the oldest books in the Bible. And there wasn't even a covenant then. And even while, when there wasn't a covenant, there was a hedge around Job. Can you imagine that? This here, Psalm 91, was written during the time that there were covenants. And the Bible says that we have a better covenant established upon better promises. And so if you notice some of the things that it says there, it says that no harm will befall you and no disaster will come near your tent. Right. Hallelujah. And then other things that it says in the very last verse, it says, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. So you can see the promises that this has in the old covenant. Now we have a new covenant established upon better promises. Now go on over to the book of Matthew and let's look at this. I just wanted to go over that to just remind us of really what belongs to us. That he wants to take care of us completely. Now in the book of Matthew chapter 14, doesn't it say that we have exceeding precious promises, right? In the book of 2 Peter. And doesn't it say that these promises, we can be partakers of the divine nature? Isn't that right? And so there's promises that we have. Now look at in Matthew chapter 14 and verse number 28. It says, Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. And so he said, come. Then it says, Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and he began to sink. Now I want you to notice that he had just one word. Now we have exceeding great and precious promises that cover everything. Now he just needed to walk on the water. So he only needed one word to walk on the water. And with that one word that he received, he began to do the supernatural. So that one word is really, we could just say that that is like significant of our promises today. It would be the same thing. That any promise that we have, if that promise says something, then that means that we can do what that promise says. Isn't that correct? He had one word. He began to do the supernatural. Now, isn't it something now when he saw the wind that he became afraid? Now, you know, faith has to be released. Isn't that right? So he received one word, and off of the word that he received, he began to release his faith. Correct? And as long as he was releasing his faith, he walked on the water. Now, wouldn't it be safe to say that we measure faith by how we release it? Is that safe to say? Because let me say it this way. You could listen to 100 messages, and if you heard 100 messages, does that mean you have great faith? Not necessarily, right? But it's how you release your faith. That's really how we measure it. Isn't that correct? So here he's releasing faith. He's doing something great, and he's walking on the water. But then there is a contrary circumstance that happens on the outside. It was just the wind blowing. When he saw the wind blowing, he became afraid, and he stopped releasing his faith, and he began to sink. Now, the covenant that we live in is a faith covenant. It's a covenant established upon better promises, and we have a faith God, and it's a faith covenant. So that tells us this. It tells us that we must release faith. We must continue to release faith. Now, here's what the Spirit of the Lord told me concerning tonight, and I know that there's a lot of different people from different places on different levels here, but he just said that there's people present tonight because of how you've been beat upon by the wind and the waves. See, and you know, wind will, if wind hits something long enough, it can deteriorate it. Isn't that right? It'll deteriorate, right? If water and waves pound on something long enough, doesn't it begin to deteriorate, right? You know, circumstances and things that happen to you, and if they continue to pound on you, they will try to make you believe that the promises that we have do not work and they're not true. And when that happens, you'll pull back and you will stop releasing your faith. And when you stop releasing your faith, it's like stopping your protection. See, faith has to be released. Isn't that right? And if we pull back, then our protection is going to get pulled back. And you know, really, the longer you're in the body of Christ, the more tempting it is to pull back. Now, if somebody would have told me that when I first came into the kingdom, see, when I came into the kingdom of God and I first heard the faith message, you know, I thought more highly of myself than I ought to think. Should have thought. Ought of them. That's a new King James word. And I thought more highly of myself than I should have thought. But you know, you stay around for a while, and if you make a decision to continue to walk in the Word, and you get hit with a few things, you know what? You get put in a place where you have to make a decision. The Word of God is either true or it isn't true. I'm either going to continue to release faith or just forget it. I've decided to continue to release faith. See, faith has to be released. There's different ways now that we can release our faith. And I heard another, my brother Joe's a pastor. And I don't know if he heard this from somebody, but I heard this from him, so I want to give him the credit tonight. But he pointed this out one time, and I heard him say this, that you can release faith three different ways. You can release faith like a sword, Mark 11:23. That's when you go on the offensive. Okay, and you speak to the mountain and you're on the offensive. You can release faith like a hand, Mark 11:24, where you believe you receive. And then you can release faith like a shield, like the shield of faith. In other words, that's for protection. Now, I thought that was interesting. So if we're not releasing our faith, you know, for protection, if something would come on us, then we need to get the sword in our hand and start fighting, don't we? Or we need to do something to receive from God, right? But, you know, we can release our faith like a shield, so it keeps things away from us, too. It's like prevention. You know, Prevention Magazine, my parents used to get that magazine, and for a while there, they really took a lot of vitamins. Because, you know, if you read Prevention Magazine, you'll see there's a vitamin for everything. And if you don't watch it, you'll end up having a big pile of vitamins. Because this one prevents this, and this prevents that. You know, and that's in the natural. But you know, really, when you release faith like a shield, it's really something you can do for prevention. So I want you to look at something here. Go on over to the book of Ephesians. Go on over there and let's look at this. Faith must be released. And really, the way that we measure faith is the way that we release faith. That's the way we measure faith. So we might think that we have to hear something 100 times before we have great faith. But you know something? Peter only heard the word come one time and he released his faith and he walked on the water. So it's really how fast we hear it. And it's important to hear the right way. But if we hear the right way and release it, then you know we can do great things really quick. So do you know where it says in Luke chapter 17? You don't have to turn there. But you know where the disciples, they said, Jesus, increase our faith. And you know what he told them? He said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you would say to the sycamine tree, be plucked up and removed and cast into the sea. And he said, it would obey you. But you know, the mustard seed is considered one of the smallest seeds that there is. And it's a potent seed. You know, if the mustard seed isn't planted, it won't grow. But if you plant a mustard seed, you know that it grows into one of the biggest trees that there is. Did you know that? And Jesus said, now, if you just had faith like a grain, as a grain of mustard seed, you would say something. You know what he was saying? He was saying, if you want your faith to increase, you have to release it. They were probably thinking it was some real mysterious thing that they had to do to get their faith to be increased. And he made it really simple. You want your faith to increase? Start to say something. Take what you have, and you might not think you have a lot. See, the mustard seed was a small seed. He said, if you just have that as a grain of mustard seed, just take what you have and plant it. In other words, release it. So, you know what? That means that, you know, we don't need to sit around thinking we have to wait. And if we could just hear another message, what we need to do on the subject of faith, we need to just release it. Hallelujah. Now, in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, and it talks about the armor of God, but we're not going to read all of it. But in verse number 16, I believe it is. The reason I keep saying I believe is because I don't have my reading glasses here tonight. It looks like it's 16 to me. But in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 16, I believe, it says, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith. And it says that by that you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. But there, where it says take up the shield of faith, if you look up the word shield, you'll notice that it talks about a large shield, if you look that definition up. Now, I don't know if anybody here saw The Gladiator, but if you saw that movie, The Gladiator, you would notice that they had two kinds of shields. Do you ever notice that? Now, you know when they were coming up from underground, I don't know what... They were coming up from underground, right? Remember, at the Colosseum. And you know how all the Roman soldiers, they had all those shields up and they were like, and they came up and then when they got up and they were level, they let their shields down? That's the shield that this is talking about. It isn't that little round shield that he had when he was fighting that lion and he hit the lion with the shield. It's talking about one of those shields. They say that they were 4.5 feet high and 2.5 feet wide. They could hide behind them. So when you see this here, and it talks about the shield of faith, it's talking about something that's really large. It's talking about something that you can hide behind. See, you know, Job had a hedge around him. You see, this is talking about the shield of faith. It's talking about something that we can put up that would be big enough to hide behind. Hallelujah. Now, notice it says to take up. You know, if you saw the movie The Gladiator and saw how the Romans would fight, you'd notice that various times they would put those shields down because they would be doing something else, right? And there were times that they had to go and take that shield and they had to lift it back up. Notice how it says take up the shield of faith. In other words, it's not going to come up automatically. You see, you have to take up the shield of faith. And now it's the shield of faith. So the word faith there is the word pistos, which is the word believe. So what we could call it is the shield of our beliefs. And the only way to get the shield of our beliefs to come up is that we have to release words. And so by releasing words and saying things and declaring things, what happens is now we put up our shield of faith. You see? Now we have to make a quality decision when we begin to do these kind of things that we don't do it out of fear, but we do it in faith. You know, if you look at the book of Job, you'll notice there before the scripture that we read, it says that Job's children were already at an age of accountability and they had their own homes. And so they were doing partying in their homes and everything, and Job was concerned about it. So it says that he offered sacrifices continually for them because he was afraid that they had sinned. So he did that on a continual basis, but he was doing it out of fear. You see? And so it is possible to do prayer out of fear, or we could do prayer out of faith. It's really up to us how we do it. Now, you have to understand his children were when people are in a cage... An age of accountability, there's only so much we can do for them. But yet, when we do it for ourselves and we do it for the people that are under us, that are not at that age of accountability, then we have to make sure we do it in faith. You see? And so Job did that on a continual basis, but it really didn't help him. You see? Now, go on over and let's look at this in the book of Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. See, it's really up to us whether or not we put our protection out there. And you see, if things try to beat against us, and we ever have the tendency to think, well, this doesn't work, we'll begin to back off of our confession. We can't do that. We have to keep that shield up there all the time. Now, look at Proverbs chapter 4. And I want you to notice this. It says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Now, the King James says it this way, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And really, the word issues and the word wellspring, no matter what translation you're reading, it really doesn't tell us everything that we need to know. But what I did is I did a little study on that word issues, because I wanted to know what that meant. It says, keep your heart with all diligence, because out of your heart, that's where the issues of life are going to be coming from. So I went and I looked up that word issues, and I want to go and take you to one scripture. Go on over to the book of Numbers, and I want to show you the same word in another scripture, and it helps us to see what this is really talking about. So it's Numbers chapter 34. And I believe it's verse number 12. Numbers 34 and verse 12, it says, then the boundary will go down along the Jordan and end at the Salt Sea. Now, this is the NIV. It says an end, E-N-D, at the Salt Sea. Now, in your Bible, it would say the goings out of it, the goings out of it. Now, the goings out of it is the same Hebrew word. So what, notice here that it says the boundary will go along the Jordan. So it's talking about one boundary, but then it says the end or the goings out. In other words, it's the most extreme boundary. In other words, it would be where a country would end or your property would end. That's what it's talking about. That's actually what that word means. So when it says guard your heart with all diligence, because out of your heart is going to be where the extreme boundaries or the furthest boundaries of your life are going to be. You see that? Now, in one other scripture in the book of Psalms, it talks about the children of Israel, how they limited the Holy One of Israel. See, God wanted to do so much for them. He wanted to bring them into the promised land, but it says that they limited him. In other words, he could have done anything, but because of what they did, they limited him. So here it says, guard your heart with all diligence, because out of your heart, out of that place, the most extreme boundaries for our life are going to be established. You see that? So we could say things like, well, I'm stupid. And guess what? We're setting up a boundary because we say we're stupid. And that's going to be the boundaries that we set up for our lives. Or we could say that Jesus is my wisdom. And I have wisdom beyond my years. See, it's really up to us. We set the boundaries, the farthest places that we're going to go by what we believe and what we say. Notice it talks about guard your heart with all diligence, because out of your heart, that's where the boundaries are going to be. You're going to set them up for you. I can't set them up for you, but you're going to set them up for yourself. See, you could even come up here tonight and I could pray for you, and I could pray a very powerful prayer and a victorious prayer. But really, it's what you believe and say on a continual basis is how you're going to set your boundaries. So we can set up our shields. We can set up our hedges. We can set up everything that we need by what we believe and what we say. That's why it says, keep your heart with all diligence. Now, you know, when the waves and the wind and everything were beating on Peter when he was walking on the water, it didn't take him long to back off and stop releasing his faith. And you know, we all deal with that. Now, we live in Singapore, and we had some graduates from last year for the Bible school. They were coming to America for Christmas vacation. And so they were looking at the news in America, and they saw that the flu was going around here. So the lady got a hold of my wife, and she said, should we get a flu shot here in Singapore before we come over? And I don't want to say it the wrong way, but what I believe my wife said, she said, well, you either need to, they call it jabs over there. Should we get a jab? That's instead of a shot. They call it a jab. They go more from England because they were, you know, England used to have that territory. So my wife said, well, you either need to jab yourself with the Word of God or go get the other kind of jab. I think that's basically what she said to me. And that's right. You know, we either need to jab, you know, if you don't have the confidence and you're not going to jab yourself with the Word of God, in other words, if you're not going to inoculate yourself with the Word of God, then you better go get the other inoculation. But you know, we can inoculate ourselves with the Word of God. And we can put up the hedge of protection. It's really up to us whether or not we want to do it. Now, I know you've heard this story before, but I'm going to just bring it up again. See, John G. Lake, when he was in Africa doing missionary work, he set up some boundaries for his life. And so, you know, there was that plague that was going on there. And, you know, the plague is going and everything. And he goes right into the middle of the plague where everybody's dying. And he goes right up to the doctors and the scientists were there. And he told them, and they were saying, how come you're not protecting yourself and all this other? And he said, because, you know, sickness and disease can't live on me. When it touches me, it dies. You know, they probably just looked at him, I'm sure. But he just said, I want to take some of the foam that's on these people's mouth that are here with the foam coming out dying. And he said, I'm going to put my hand under the microscope and I want you to watch it. And I want you to see that those germs die on my body. You know how that happened? It was something that he walked in. Now he walked in it. You know, I don't know if anybody's walking in it today like he walked in it. Probably Brother Hagin was one of the closest ones that walked in what John G. Lake walked in. But it's there to walk in it if we want to walk in it. You know, and see, there might be things that happen to other people. There might be things that happen to us. See, if I get sick one time, that's not going to change what I believe. I'm going to examine myself and find out why I did. But I'm not going to think, well, how's come that didn't work, God? Because the Bible's always true. The Word of God is always true. And so it doesn't matter what we hear about anybody else, and it doesn't matter what's happened to us in times past. We need to make a decision. The Bible is either true or it's not true. We can either put up protection and a shield of faith, or we can. So John G. Lake set up his boundaries. And his boundaries were wonderful. He just said, sickness and disease, it dies when it touches my body. Hallelujah. And it's exactly what he had. It died when it touched his body. And so we can have it in every area. We can set the boundaries up. I remember when I first began to go in the ministry and begin to minister. And this was back in 1981. I was traveling with the Ramah Singers and Band at that time. And that was before Pastor Ken was in the group when this was going on. He came shortly after that. But I remember that the manager of the present group, which he is now on staff at Ramah Bible Church, his name was Dan Morrison, and so he was my boss at that time. So we're going to a church, and he calls on me. He said, I want you to preach on Sunday morning at the church we're going to. And we would all take turns, and it would be up to the manager. He would tell everybody who was going to preach. So I said okay to him. And at that time, in 1981, you know, the churches were a little bit smaller then because, you know, there was all these new churches that were popping up preaching the victorious message. So most of the churches that we were going to at the time were between 20 and 50 people. So I told them I would preach. So we get to this church, and when we get to this church, there's 700 chairs set up. And you don't know where I came from, but see, if you knew my mother, you would understand. I took after my mother. My mother cannot stand up in front of people and speak. When she does, her face gets all red and her heart start beating real, you know, and her tongue, you know, her throat gets clogged up and she can't speak real good. I was the same way. So we get to this church with 700 chairs in it and we're setting up, and I go up to the manager and I tell him, I said, I'm not going to preach tomorrow. This is a big church and I'm not going to do this. And and he looks at me and he says, yes, you are. He said, I'm the boss and you're going to preach tomorrow. Now, all of us that know Dan Morrison can't picture him being that hard, but if he needed to be, he could be that hard. And so I said, you know, there's other people in the group that want to preach to 700 people. I don't want to do that. And he said, you're going to do that. So we got done setting up. You know, I had butterflies in my stomach on Saturday night. I mean, they started on Saturday night when we were setting up the music equipment. I could hardly sleep that night. I could hardly eat supper that night. I could hardly eat breakfast the next morning. You know, and I felt like the scripture came to me. It was, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. You know, and I think the Lord was trying to tell that to me, but I just thought, well, that's my text scripture. So I came up with a little message on be strong. I thought it was going to actually take a half hour, 45 minutes, what I came up with. But I got up there. We got to the church on Sunday morning, and I tried to get out of it one more time, and he said, no. And so I got up, you know, when it was my time to do it, and I turned to my text scripture, and within 15 minutes, I was done with everything I had. Went a lot faster than I thought. And in that 15 minutes, I said things like this. I said, well, God used the donkey, and he can use me. And you know, that is still true. But I said this also. I said, you think it's easy to preach? You ought to try to preach. I told this to the congregation. And so then a couple months down the road, we're doing a meeting with Brother Hagin, and I'm working at the book tables. And this lady comes running up, and she said, Brother Tony, she goes, I was in Killeen, Texas when you preached. And she goes, I got to tell you how blessed I was. And I thought, somebody got blessed, you know? And she says, yes, you know when you said that it's not easy to preach and you ought to try it? She says, and you know, my husband was in the ministry and it was hard and he quit. And she said, that just really helped him. But you know what I was saying about myself back then? I was saying terrible things about myself back then. I was saying that I can't preach, I'm not anointed, I'm not good. And I would compare myself with everybody else in the group. And so if somebody else in the group would do a good job ministering, I would just say, I can't do that, I'm no good. And I had a terrible confession about myself. You know what I was doing? I was setting up my boundaries. Just setting my boundaries. And you know what? I never went past those boundaries until I changed what I believed and changed what I said. And you know, you'll never go past the boundaries that you set up for your life. If we think small, we're going to have small. If we talk small, we're going to act small. See, it's really the boundaries that we set up. So it's for every area. You know, the Bible talks about the grace that we have, but also the Bible says that we have access into the grace by faith. Isn't that right? So God can grace us to do something, but if we don't access that by our faith, if we don't make the right declarations and release our faith the right way, we're going to be limited. And God is going to be limited in our life. He can only do in our lives what we allow Him to do. Isn't that right? So what we see here, it's saying that guard your heart with all diligence, because out of your heart, that's where the issues of life are. That's where the extreme boundaries are going to be. So if you've said the wrong thing about various areas in your life, you're going to have to change what you say. First, you have to change what you believe. And as a result of changing what you believe, you'll automatically change what you say. But what happens is there's a challenge all the time on what we believe. A challenge on what we believe. I talked about how, you know, I get online because we live in Singapore and I always click on Fox News and I see what's going on. I always want to see what's going on in the United States because I want to know, keep up with it. So I saw the whole thing that was going on with the flu. And so, you know, in my mind, you know, we're coming into the country with two little children. We're going to go to Colorado, do some traveling. In the natural mind, it's a challenge. You say, you know, here we are coming into the States. We're going to go through these airports where all these people are. So what we decided to do, it just came into my heart that we printed out Psalm 91. And so usually we take Brother Hagin's devotional book every morning and we do faith food. When we have our breakfast together, we read it and then we say the confessions in faith food. But we just had it in our heart about 8 or 9 days before we came back here to take Psalm 91, and we read it every morning, and we began to say what Psalm 91 said. And you know, one scripture in there in Psalm 91 says, it shall not come near thee. You know, so we began to focus in on various things in Psalm 91, and we began to declare that will not come near me. And, you know, and if it does come near, I mean, some things might come near, but when it touches, it has to die when it touches us. See, it's just good to start practicing it. The disease, viruses, sickness cannot live in my body. The quickening life power of God is in my body. It is quickening my body, and sickness and disease must die when it touches me. And see, it doesn't matter if it happens one time or not. Don't let something challenge what you believe and cause you to change what you're saying. Never change what you're saying. Because as soon as you back off and change it, it's like, in the Star Wars movie, you know, and how, you know, how they illuminated so much, how those shields come up, you know, and they showed it, you know, and they make that noise, you know, and when that happens, you know, you can see that, like the white shields, you know, and when they shoot the things there, you know, there is no ship, you know, no other spacecraft or whatever that can penetrate that shield, and there's no bombs or whatever they shoot off, lasers, they can't penetrate that as long as the shield is up. We just need to imagine that when we believe the right thing and we declare the right thing, that it's like, there's a shield that goes up. And see, when those kind of things try to come at us, they can't penetrate. Hallelujah. And you know, it's really up to us. We can imagine godly things, or we can imagine ungodly things. You know how it says in the book of Corinthians, it says casting down imaginations. And it says imaginations that what exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. See, God, there's the knowledge of God. And then there's other imaginations. And any imagination that's contrary to the knowledge of God, it tries to exalt itself above or against the knowledge of God. And so when we were looking at those news reports, seeing that there was the flu going on here, and various different things. And last year we were living in Singapore, and you know, the SARS thing that was going on. And Singapore was one of the cities where they had trouble with SARS. And it's that time when something is going on like that, that it's important that we cast down those imaginations, because you can imagine the wrong thing. You can imagine yourself dying. You can imagine yourself laying in bed sick. You can imagine yourself going broke and being poor. You can imagine yourself getting into a situation where there's a terror attack. Isn't that right? If you read enough of the other stuff and you don't read enough of the Word of God, you'll start imagining the wrong things. And so really, it's up to us. We have to make sure we feed ourselves on the Word of God more than we feed ourselves on those other things. Because what we want to do is we want to have imaginations that are in line with the Word of God. Says casting down imagination. It talks about pulling down strongholds. Well, an imagination is something that can happen really quickly. You can hear one thing and you can imagine something, and it says to cast those down. But then it talks about even pulling down stronghold. A stronghold in the Greek there, it means like a castle. And you know, a castle isn't built overnight. You see? And see, some here could have built the wrong kind of castle. Where it talks about pulling down a stronghold, you might have said and believed the wrong thing most of your life. And it took a little bit of time to build that. You know what you need to start doing is you need to start tearing that down if you have built any strongholds. If you have a stronghold of fear, it's important to tear that down. Now, imagination can be something quick where you just cast it down. But a stronghold is something that can be built where you have to actually tear it down. And then it says to bring every thought into captivity. See, some thoughts, the only way you can bring them into captivity is you have to take the promises in the Word of God. And you know, you have to just picture what is captivity? It's like if you all began to walk toward me, isn't that right? And you back me into that corner, you would have me in captivity. And if I preach too long, maybe you would try to do that. No. But that would be like putting me in the corner and making me captive. Well, we can take the promises of God when it comes to those kind of thoughts, and we can take those thoughts and we can back them into captivity. It says to bring our thoughts into captivity. Any thought that isn't against the knowledge of God, we need to bring it into captivity. Hallelujah. And it's up to us whether we do it or not. It's up to us. I can't do it for you, but you can do it for yourself. And as I said, I could pray for you a very powerful prayer, but if you walk away and say and believe the wrong thing, you're eventually going to have what you say no matter how powerful my prayer is. Isn't that right? And so we're living in a world with various threats. And the only way that we can walk in this world with all these threats going on and walk in peace is we have to keep a shield out there. We need to keep our hedges up, and we need to continue to release our faith. Now I don't know if... I didn't tell him to be ready or anything, but do you have a song that fits in with this, Steve? Brother Steve? Brother-in-law Steve? Pastor Steve? Do you have a song that would fit in, that we can all sing something together along these lines? See if you got something. Okay. Praise the Lord. You know, the Bible says that He'll confirm. He confirms the Word with signs following. So I believe that anything you preach, He wants to confirm it. And so based upon what we spoke on tonight, what He wants to confirm tonight, we just need to release faith so He can confirm the Word that was preached. Hallelujah. And it's good to release it immediately. It's not like you have to hear it 100 times, right? As soon as we preach it and faith is there, it's a good time to release it. Isn't that right? So we want to just do some releasing of our faith. We want to set up some boundaries. We want the extreme boundaries of our life to be set up the right way. Hallelujah. If you need to cast down some imaginations tonight, then you want to cast down those imaginations. If you have some thoughts that need to get put into captivity, you want to take the promises of God and back those thoughts into captivity. Hallelujah. If you have some strongholds that were built up in your life, you want to start tearing down those strongholds. If your shield of faith, your shield of beliefs, what you believe, if it's laying down, you need to take it up. And the way that you take it up, when they said, "Lord, increase our faith," He said, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you're going to say something. It's time to get the shields up, hallelujah, and not let them down. Glory to God. Praise the Lord.